Welcome to the Fit Life Podcast, connecting a clear path between media and science to empower our listeners to live our fit life. I'm Kurt Salquist, your host, and thank you to our sponsor, my gym here in Spokane, Washington, CoreFit Inc. We're a gym, a community, a place for inspiration. CoreFit offers regular people a chance to come in and find their fittest self. Most of the members that walk into CoreFit aren't exercising. They aren't doing races yet. They aren't competing in any type of fitness event when they come here. They're coming from a place of wanting to create change, wanting to get better. When you come to CoreFit, we help guide you through beginner level programs to develop you to what our community is generally doing at that point when you come in. You're getting on the board, you're coming to the board where we have our workouts laid out for our performance level athletes, our regular people that just want to live their fit life. And then again, of course, we've got our people that are developing, they're finding their path right now. It's important that your program is tailored to your fitness needs. Not everybody needs to come in and push the most amount of weight their body is capable of at that point. That's not what you need to grow. It's not what you need to be able to come back tomorrow. If you want to be able to use your body, we don't want to crush it. We just want to stimulate it. We want to inspire it. We want to inspire your motivation, and you're going to get that from the people that you meet here, the community that you meet here that's going to want to help encourage you grow and live your fittest life. Something that has inspired us is our community going out there and taking on all types of events. One of those that has become extremely popular for us is the obstacle course racing. We've created our own race called the Ultimate Fitness Run on Mount Spokane. It'll be happening this year again, June 15th. And at that race, you've got, again, your chance for somebody who's just getting into the obstacle course racing. You want to see what it's like, or you just want to go out there and have a good time, do it with your friends. That's our open wave, our open competitive low, or our open event. And then you have your competitive event, event for those of you guys that want to go out there and test yourself. You want to take on the challenge and see what it's like to push your body to its limits. You want to be competitive and you want to explore the ins and the outs of what you can do. Sign up for our competitive wave. You will get that. Trust me. So that's happening again, June 15th. You can find out more information about the Ultimate Fitness Run at theultimatefitnessrun.com. By the way, there's a kids race. Get those kids signed up. The sooner you do it, the cheaper it's going to be as it fills up. And we will hit capacity again this year, so don't hesitate. There's also corefitinc.com. You can find out information about our gym and the run at that webpage. So let's talk about today. We've got guest Adam Clark, former Marine, MMA, that's mixed martial arts, competitor, fighter. He's been in the cage multiple times. I've had the luxury or the fortunate ability to be in there and coach him or be in his ringside, help him through those fights. He's doing all the work. I'm just yelling and cheering for him. And then we get into talking about what's drove him, what's got him to this point. This guy is a guy that has created a passion for himself about being his, exactly what the fit life is. He's living his fittest life. He's being his fittest self. So we talk about supplementation, whether not beginners, what you should be taking or shouldn't be taking. For more advanced people, what you should start to think about taking. And then we get into his diet, the keto diet. We're talking a lot about the keto diet in the back half of this podcast, as well as intermittent fasting. So if that's something that interests you and you want to learn more about, get ready. Here we go. The Fit Life Podcast with Adam Clark today. All right. Welcome to the show, Adam Clark. We've got Adam in here today. Adam, I think I met you we were just trying to figure that out, about 3-4 years ago. You came into CoreFit. What were you looking for? Just a place to lift weights or what?
Yeah, I think at the time what was happening is I had a really busy schedule. I was doing real estate but also selling cars at the time. And one of my coworkers, Ethan Lawrence, and his wife came here.
That's right.
And he sort of introduced me to the clan, and I liked your guys' program and situation, and we went from there.
Yeah, it seemed obviously a little bit different than what you've been doing, because you had a really high level of kind of powerlifting under your belt at that point, right? I mean, you were pulling, I don't think it was long before you were pulling over 400 pounds for a deadlift I saw. Power cleans, what, over 225?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's definitely it. I came from a different background, more of the bodybuilding, powerlifting-esque, your standard, 24 fitness style gyms that are more prevalent. And this was kind of my first foray into, I hate the term functional fitness, but, we're core fits like fit for life. And, and you're kind of rewarded for that. I liked what I was getting out of it. I got good results really fast by kind of switching up the modality. So, I ended up sticking with it.
Yeah, that's definitely an important part of what we try to do here to keep things exciting, keep things fun. Because I think anyone gets stuck on the same program, eventually your results are going to slow down. The same routine day in and day out gets a little bit stale for most people. And, having the variety, the change up, and also I think, as you were mentioning, like the fit for life, to feel like what you're doing is making you better in the real world is more motivating. And I know something that you did shortly thereafter, or at least you did again, because you did it before you came here, was you got in the cage and you did hand-to-hand combat with another man. That's a big deal. Like getting into the ring and saying like, okay, one of us may not survive this. We're coming, we're going till one person's knocked out or the ref calls the fight, right?
Yeah, so, and that's interesting. And that's another thing that I kind of liked the CoreFit training program. It dovetailed well into my extracurricular hobbies, if that's what you could call MMA. And I was noticing that my previous training standards just wasn't being real conducive with that. I was still having success inside of MMA, but at the same time, I could tell that it was becoming like a series of diminishing returns. And so I needed something that I enjoyed, because, if you don't like what you're doing, you won't stick with it. And then on the flip side, it was effective. So, so I wanted to lift big weights, but I also wanted to be able to get in a cage and, do my thing. So CoreFit ended up being kind of that that happy balance in between those two worlds. And, I don't care if you want to go hiking or swimming or lift big weights. This is a good place, or at least for me, it has been a good place where I can kind of switch a few small things and tailor towards the results that I'm really going for.
Going back even further, I think you probably graduated high school and went right into the military, right?
Yes, yeah, I did. 2005, graduated here in Spokane, Shadle Park High School, 2 weeks after graduation, so in the middle of summer. Went to San Diego, California to boot camp. Got sunburned on my forearms. hot and sunny Southern California. Did that, graduated in October that year. And ended up doing, a four-year term in the Marines. And then what's funny is at that age, and it's such an isolated environment, is you don't realize what's kind of going on in the world, the world events, or you start ignoring it because, news tends to be depressing, especially when you're 22. But we were going through the recession back then in 2009. In fact, we were kind of smack dab in the middle of it. So when I got out of the Marines in 2009, I was warned that I wouldn't find a job and all these things, and I thought it was just scare tactics to keep me in the military. They were trying to keep me, and I said, no thanks. I'll take my chances, and got out in the real world. And I spent the next year unemployed, looking for work and struggling a little bit there, and that led me into my first desk job that I had in my life. So first time in my life I wasn't active, which was my real estate career. And then that kind of sedentary lifestyle ended up, making me not fit. And for the first time in my life, I kind of felt those symptoms that a lot of people in society would talk about, but I could never truly relate to, because I just grew up, with wrestling in high school and just an active lifestyle and then the Marine. So my whole life was just naturally kind of geared towards that. And I didn't even go to the gym back then because I didn't need to. But after sitting on a desk, for over 2 years, and then, getting overweight, and I remember I lived on the third floor of my apartment, and I couldn't even take a load of groceries from my car to my apartment and unload them without sitting on my couch for 20 minutes just to recover. And so that kind of led to the depression and, you know, the dark side of things, which ends up being a cyclical behavior. One leads into the other. You know, you're fat because you're sad, and you're sad because you're fat, sort of thing. And I had a relationship, 5-year relationship at the time, kind of break down, and all this kind of happened at the same time in my life. I was living in Seattle at the time. Moved back to Spokane, went for a fresh start, and I was just kind of sad and miserable on my couch. And my brother, of all people, finally just had enough of it. I was living with him at the time, and he got me up off the couch and got me outside and running, because that's what he was doing and having some success with. And that was kind of the start of my actual fitness journey. So that would have been about 2012-ish.
What year did you have your first fight?
The first MMA fight, I think, happened in 2014. It was a couple years into it. What happened was, when I first got into fitness, I kind of got into the, I was more focused on losing weight. And I think this is a situation a lot of people find themselves in. They get more focused on fat loss than any other aspect of fitness, which is fine. We all have to start somewhere. But what I can say is that if that's all you're focused on 100%, more than likely, if you do it with any sort of intelligence and logic and systematically, it will happen pretty quick, and then you'll kind of be left with the situation like, well, now what? And that's kind of what happened for me. A year later, I was really thin, could run a lot, but my knees hurt, and, you know, all sorts of other things. So I kind of needed a greater challenge. And what happened was, is I went to high school with a top 10 UFC fighter, Michael Chiesa, who's kind of blowing up in the UFC at this time. He won the Ultimate Fighter and, you know, was kind of walking into fame. And, you know, this was the guy that I used to be in the wrestling room with every day. So anyways, I kind of got into that circle. I started training with them on their team. And, you know, as a different way to be fit, mostly I wasn't really interested in actually competing or anything. But like they say, you know, you become who you spend time with. And so one thing led to another. Next thing I knew it, yeah, I was testing myself in the cage against someone else.
Yeah, that explains it. Yeah, I've never heard that side of the story. That makes sense. And especially what you said about exactly, you're around these people and they're going to influence you, whether they've got good habits or bad habits.
Yes, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. You know, and it's just kind of just being aware of your environment, a lot of these things, and making sure you're in a healthy environment. And, you know, growing up, I was in not the most healthy environment, I would say. We, you know, divorced parents and low income kind of family. And there was 5 of us in a 2-bedroom house. So my brother, my sister and I had to share a room and a set of bunk beds. So my brother and sister slept on the same mattress, you know, kind of thing. And it's not a unique story by any means, but it's just kind of one of those that that kind of helps people understand like where my character and my line of thinking comes from, because, you know, a lot of things that I do in life are still in that sort of survival aspect. But anyways, what I was trying to get at was, is when you do something, you know, in life and it's like difficult, you gotta ask yourself, like, why are you doing it? And, like, have that purpose and that drive behind you. And, you know, so for me, it's like I'm easily able to dig into that resource and kind of utilize it for my own, you know, motivations.
Yeah, you've definitely taken that to the next notch and beyond, you know, tenfold. You started out, and like, kind of another thing I thought about in your story is, like, you were influenced by your brother who was running. You started running. That led you to the next step of, you know, I'm chasing, you know, I'm getting healthier, I'm starting to lose weight and feeling better. And then I got to the next step of meeting these other people that I knew, and I was exercising in their gym, and then I was doing what they were doing. And then you took it even further. So you had your first fight, and you kept on this same track and started maybe thinking more. I mean, and what I've seen from you is, how do you become the most fittest version of yourself?
Yes, that's such a good point too. And just to backtrack one second, I'll get back on this, is, you know, yeah, my brother is kind of that catalyst that got me off the couch and moving for the first time, which is such an important and critical step. It's the first step for anyone, and you never know what's going to be that spark for somebody. Like, there's no way my brother could have known that, like, you know, him just getting tired of me being mopey, like pulling me off the couch, was going to lead to an absolute lifestyle change and dedication to a certain practice down the road. So, I mean, you know, for you, those of you out there, it's like, you know, if you know somebody in the same situation, like, just take them under your wing. You just don't know. Like, you know, sometimes it doesn't work out, but sometimes it does, and that's important. But, well, yeah, with that being said, yeah, fitness wasn't something that's always been in my life, and I think it's important. I think people see me, and they just kind of, they take some things I say with a grain of salt because they assume it's always been easy for me, and it's just not true. You know, I've had my trials and tribulations from fitness and other aspects of my life, just like anyone, and it's, you know, taken a lot of work. But how do you lead down that road? So circumstance played a part in it, you know, and one thing does lead to the next. But like I said, I had that internal drive to kind of always do something that's the next level when I achieve the previous thing, because I notice for me, when I stall out or plateau, I tend to lose interest, and disinterest to me means I just move on to different things entirely. So how did I keep myself interested? And a lot of that came from my background in science, actually. I've done a lot of schooling, a lot of study, you know, pre-medical biology degree at Eastern and things along those lines. So being scientific about my methods and my approach has really been key for me. Also, that further interested that is, when I got into running, I was training for a marathon and wanted to do long distance running, and I was having some severe knee issues, or I would do like a 13-mile run and then I couldn't walk for 2 days. And I realized that if I didn't change something about my approach, like, this wasn't going to work. There was no way I was going to get to this marathon goal that I had. So for me, it was turning to science and trying to do things smarter, not harder. And, you know, that kind of led me down nutrition, training, supplementation, which was good because it was kind of a 180 from, you know, going back to the Marines and their mentality of, you know, we're going to do it this way because it's the hard way, because we're Marines, because we're tough. And I just never aligned well with that line of thinking. I just couldn't understand why we would do something because it's harder. Like, that doesn't make you better or tougher. Like, that just means you did something more difficult. And so that's what's worked for me, and, you know, how I've really approached this whole thing.
Let's jump into that, the supplement side, because I know you do have a lot of knowledge and time spent researching and putting together your own concoctions. What are some supplements somebody out there, what is someone, if someone's thinking about starting fitness, do they need to be starting supplements too?
So that's a good point. And the answer is it depends, and it's going to be different from everybody. I mean, we need to kind of get out of this idea, I think, of generalized fitness, generalized nutrition, and get more into the idea of specialized fitness and specialized nutrition. Like, what are your goals? What's your gender? What's your age? Where are you at on the fitness journey path? You know, whatever you want to call it now. You know, what are your capabilities and, you know, injuries? And I mean, and the list can go on. And the more specialized and tailored to you that we can get this, the better. But I will say, you know, if we have to make this a generalized statement, if you're just getting into fitness, no, supplementation should be absolutely unnecessary. I would say even the very first thing you should do is work on doing a few key changes in your diet that are for the positive. A lot of these can be common sense. Add more vegetables, eat less sugar. I mean, you don't have to make it complicated. You don't have to do it perfect the first time around. You know, start small, make it so that you can stick with it. And then, you know, as far as like getting into the gym or anything like that, that's not even necessary. I would say just start moving, and it doesn't even have to be exerting or exhausting or hurt you in any way. Like, you can just start small, start establishing the habits, start penciling, you know, an hour a day of your time, make it so that, you know, you don't have to go to the gym today. Like, you just go to the gym today. It's just part of your schedule. It's just like getting up and doing anything else that you do. Make it routine. If you start with these small changes, even if it's not as fast as you want, you are giving yourself and growing those habits that will make this sustainable. And I think that's the difference for a lot of people. There's a lot of people that can get into this and they can give it a hard 12 weeks, but then they quit. And then it's, you know, what was all that for? You want to make this a lifetime adjustment. Like, you got to start small and build your way up. Definitely.
Agree. It's about that 1% growth every single day. It's not needing to jump up to, I need to be 100% better tomorrow. I need to stop eating all the junk food that I'm eating and start eating all this healthy food I hear I should be eating tomorrow, right? It's no, let's just eat a little bit better, okay? Make those small adjustments. And definitely a good advice is that, yeah, you do not need to start any supplements on day one, maybe not even day 30, maybe not even day 90. But you know, I would say with that potential for like, yeah, maybe vitamin D, and everyone should probably be taking vitamin D, maybe a multivitamin, maybe omega-3, a fish oil or something like that. There's those ones. But as far as any fat burners, what most people are going to try and get you to start with, if you walk into, you know, the supplement store or something, completely unnecessary.
Yeah, absolutely would be unnecessary. And a lot of those are they're ineffective and not properly dosed. And the reason why they're trying to push them on you is because they have the highest profit margins and they're trained to push those on you. Like I said, if they don't know you, they don't know what to offer you. And like you said, Kurt, I mean, if you wanted to start somewhere because you want to make that improvement and you have the budget and everything to accommodate it, yes, I'd say fish oil, vitamin D, any fat-soluble vitamin actually, and a multivitamin, and then would be a great place to start. It's cheap, it's easy, they're effective. Take with food, separate out your calcium, magnesium, zinc from your other vitamins, because you know they don't absorb well together, and you can start there. And it's a pretty small step, and it's cheap too. So and you will get something out of that, definitely.
So let's fast forward. I know there's probably plenty of people that are thinking about, okay, I've been doing this for a long time now. I am hitting the gym 4 days, maybe even 6 days a week. And I want to make sure I'm getting my recovery and my strength gains out of my time spent in the gym. What supplements would someone want to start looking at?
So if you're starting out and you're new, I'd say first off, like I said, you got to start slow. So implement one thing at a time and then let that implementation like sit with you for, you know, 2, 3, 4 weeks even before you implement the next thing. And that is, like I was talking about earlier, this is the scientific method being applied on a smaller scale and to your own body so that you can specialize it for yourself. Not all of us are going to react to the same things the same, but if you do it one thing at a time and you implement it over 4 weeks, you will be able to see its effectiveness on yourself, or if it's not effective, you know, and maybe it wouldn't be needed for you. But some common good ones that studies have shown to be pretty much effective across the board that we can all benefit from, creatine monohydrate is a good one. It's incredibly cheap. You don't need a lot of it. Some people have some stomach distress with it when they take it on its own. I would recommend taking it with some food. That's a good one. And that's one of those ones, like, you're not going to notice anything crazy. You're not going to get any sort of anxiety or shaking or weird side effects. It's going to be slow and gradual effects that maybe are a little more subtle, a little more power output. Like, instead of maybe doing 8 reps at whatever exercise, at whatever weight, you might be able to pull out, you know, 9, 10 reps. You know, kind of a thing. It's going to give you that extra 15%, you know, 8%, whatever it will be, you know, give you that little bit extra. And, you know, that's where a lot of progress ends up being made too. I think that's important to note. You know, another thing you can do that I find interesting is kind of make the decision on whether or not you want to, where you're struggling with. So, and what I mean by that is, like, is the struggle physical? Is it mental? Are you having, like, you know, adrenal fatigue? Are you feeling tired and worn out all the time? And we'll be able to think about, like, where we should be supplementing from there. So a lot of times, if it's physical, we can do supplements geared towards recovery. So amino acids, which are essentially broken down simple proteins. We can get our essential fatty acids, which are broken down fats. Those are things that we have to get through our diet, and they're important that we consume. A lot of those will take care of a lot of those physical symptoms, mental symptoms. We can look at nootropics. We can, creatine will help with that. You can have alpha GPC, which will help with human growth hormone production, which also helps you with your reaction time and clarity of thought and a myriad of other effects. You can also look at even iodine supplementation if you're having like trouble concentrating and focusing, especially if you eliminated a lot of salt from your diet. A lot of times we're low on iodine, and you know those effects kind of creep up on us, and you know, the list goes on. It really does. But like I said, and I'll keep reiterating, it's important to take a systematic approach, kind of identify what the problems are specifically, and that way you're able to kind of focus on you know, supplementation that'll be effective for you.
Yeah, just like you said earlier about, you know, getting started and programming and eating, it's all totally customized. Like, I mean, there's no general one size fits all program out there when it comes to diet, when it comes to workout programming, when it comes to supplementation even. Like you said, one person might be experiencing fatigue, one person might have no issues with fatigue, but yet they just don't see any strength gains coming from their time spent at the gym. So there might be one thing that would benefit this person, the other person doesn't need to waste any money on.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, I think it's also important to note that I was kind of a victim of this in the beginning too. I didn't really have anyone kind of guiding me through this process. I'm self-taught in a lot of this. Luckily for me, like I said, I have that science background, so I was kind of able to filter between bro science and, you know, clinical studies, and then take those clinical studies and make sure they were applicable in the gym. Because just because you're able to produce a result in a laboratory setting doesn't mean it has real world application. Sometimes it's just not realistic. So it is really important to make those distinctions for everyone and make sure that we're treating the problem for you. And don't go out and spend a bunch of money to cover a bunch of bases that you don't need covered. It's a waste of resources, you know, and that's kind of important to keep track too. Plus, the more complicated you make your program, whether it's your supplementation program, your training program, you know, your sleep routine, whatever it may be, the less likely you are to stick with it. I really think that there's a lot of beauty in something that's simple yet effective.
Yeah, 100%. Keep it simple. Again, 1% every day definitely helps. So as you said along your journey, right, to put yourself around other people with similar goals, similar mindsets, or people that can inspire you to get to that next level. They're going to help you when your motivation starts to wane, which is perfectly normal. No one's going to be 100% go, go, go every day. It's normal to not feel it that day. Maybe you need that rest. Maybe there's something lacking in your diet. Let's go into diet. I know you have been really hitting it well with your take on, right now, a keto diet, right?
Yeah. Specifically, I kind of am doing a generalized version of ketogenics with more of a specialized, strict version of intermittent fasting. The two protocols to me dovetail well together and, you know, kind of have synergistic effects. So, yeah, that's kind of that's my goal through this winter, and I'm going to take it through to summer and see how this goes. If I feel great, which I'm already getting the inkling, I'm a little over two and a half weeks in, and I'm already, you know, sensing that it's going to be good. So that's my goal for this kind of this season and this year, and I'm really excited about it, definitely.
It's been really effective for you so far when it comes to, you know, shedding the few extra pounds you had on your body. I mean, you weren't really that overweight to begin with. I'm sure, I mean, 10 out of 10 people would have said, yeah, that guy's not overweight. But yet, you've already definitely, when you started this program, you've already definitely dropped pounds. How many pounds are you down right now?
Yeah, I'm down approximately 20 to 25 pounds, depending on the day. Now, one thing to take note of that, and you know, I don't want people having expectations that are way out of line here, and I'm not special, you know, by any means either, but in with ketogenics, high fat diets in general, the initial weight loss, a lot of that is in water weight. I do notice that every day when I wake up, I have extremely dry mouth, I'm extremely thirsty, so I am having trouble right now holding on to liquids. And that has a lot to do with the low carbohydrate, just so you guys know, about every gram of carbohydrate that's in your body, you hold 3 grams of water. So when you take your carbs, which I was on previously 250, 300 grams carbs a day to 5 to 20 grams of carbs a day, you can imagine that's a lot of water that my body's used to for running all of its processes. That's no longer there. But also, you know, that's a lot of that weight comes from that directly.
Yeah, for sure. That is something that everyone should really note. When you're watching shows like The Biggest Loser and you're seeing 10 pounds, 20 pounds loss on a week, that is not fat. Your body cannot burn through fat that fast. It is physically impossible for your body to process that amount of fuel. I mean, it's like trying to stuff a car, or let's say you have a fireplace in your house and you're trying to stuff the refrigerator into the fireplace. It just doesn't fit. It can't burn it. But going back to you talk about the dry mouth stuff, have you tried to bring up adding a lot more salt in your diet?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, part of my routine has been in the mornings when I wake up, I use Himalayan salt. You can use sea salt, but any naturally derived salt will be effective here. This is to replace a lot of my electrolytes. I'm looking specifically for calcium, potassium, magnesium. Himalayan salt, the reason why I use that, has all 84 trace minerals in it. Trace minerals are kind of like the vitamins and things that they don't talk about, like the things that you need very small quantities of in order to function. They're still important. You just don't need a lot of them, and you normally get them through your diet. But on keto, you kind of run a danger here because your body has a hard time holding on to those because of the lack of water. So you end up passing them through your system, especially before your body has started producing all the enzymes required to hold on to them anyways. So it is important to, yeah, up your salt, sodium intake, specifically get your electrolytes. Or you will get headaches. It's kind of like the symptom if, you know, you start getting these headaches in the beginning of ketogenic. And one of the most likely the fixes is more water and more minerals, and it'll help with that symptom specifically.
Yeah, for sure. Now with your keto, so another thing people, I think a common misconception out there is like, okay, so keto diet means I'm just not eating any carbs. That has that's just one basis of this, and it's not zero carbs, obviously. I mean, you're still eating vegetables, you're still eating maybe even some small quantities of berries or things like that, some low glycemic fruits. But there's an important ratio that you need to undertake with keto, and that is with your proteins and your fats. What's your current take with how much protein versus fat that you're getting on a percentage basis of your total calories?
Yeah, that's a good point too. So it's different from a low carb diet or even like Atkins, if you're, you know, from the 80s or maybe probably from the 90s, in that your fat percentage really does have to be the vast majority of your caloric intake here. And I do about a 70-30 fat to protein ratio. And then I don't know what the percentage of my carbs would be, but it ends up being really low, almost negligible, a few percent on that. And it's important to keep those ratios in check, because what happens is if you have too high protein, now I know people in the fitness are just going to lose their minds here because you've been told more protein is better and you need it to build a muscle, which is a lot of science and studies have been showing that, yeah, that might be important if you have a lot of carbohydrates. But when you lower the carbohydrates, up the fat, what happens is your body starts producing the hormones and things necessary to recycle and reutilize the proteins that are already in your system. It gets really efficient in this process, and you don't lose them at the rate that you would if you had a lot of carbohydrates. Not only that, if your proteins are too high, what will happen is your body will always, if given the option, to utilize carbohydrates as an energy source over ketones and fat. And if your protein levels are too high, your body actually has the ability to break those down into amino acids and then convert those over to glucose sugars and utilize them. So you actually would be upping your carb intake by eating too much protein as a byproduct of your body recognizing that it has more than it needs to run its systems because it's getting more efficient. So it takes the excess, turns it into sugar anyways, and so you're kind of undermining your own process that you're trying to create here.
Yeah, certainly. And that's, I think, a common mistake a lot of people out there trying a keto diet are making, is not realizing that their protein to fat ratios are not in check for producing ketone bodies in your bloodstream, which are going to be your new primary fuel source, replacing the glycogen that you would have had stored, or glucose as it's in an active form in your bloodstream, as a fuel source from your carbohydrate intake. So 70% fat, or let's just go with the protein there, 30% protein is about probably the high end of protein that someone can intake and still be in ketosis.
Yeah, and you got to keep in mind that, you know, this is for me, so, you know, this might not be an effective protocol for you specifically. And the reason why I chose these ratios is I'm aware that's on the high side, but I still have the goal of right now is I'm on more of a bodybuilding fitness protocol. I've been doing, I'm on a simple 3-day system where, you know, I do a pull day, a push day, a leg day, and I go back to pull, push, legs, you know, just back and forth on that. So I'm still trying to grow my muscles as far as size right now. And, you know, so for me, that does take a certain amount of protein, or my protein requirements would be higher because I am breaking down muscle tissue. You know, I still need the enzymes to be produced. You know, your protein isn't just to build muscle and keep your organs healthy. A lot of people don't understand protein in your body. Anything that does work, anything that does something in your body actively is made out of protein. So, you know, if you want all the systems, all the chemical reactions to work, you need proteins for those systems to be effective. So, so that's why I have it at, you know, at those ratios.
Yeah, it seems like more people in the sports athletic world are about that 70-30 percentage. And then other people maybe just thinking about weight loss or going more 80-20 or even higher ratios of fat and lower ratios of protein for their considerations. The keto diet for you so far, I mean, what would be the positives? Let's start with the negatives. Are there any negatives you experienced?
Yeah, mostly the negatives for me had to do with the side effects I was experiencing due to changing over to this protocol. And one thing to take note is, you know, if you guys find that the side effects are too harsh, like I get it, I understand it is difficult and we're all going to deal with them to a certain degree, depending on just who you are, your age and things like that, it will feel you will feel it to a greater degree or to a less degree depending on who you are, but we all will feel it a little bit. And so for me, crossing over is where I felt most of the drawbacks, and a lot of those were I had, you know, a headache for almost 3 days straight. You know, which we talked about, that my sleep schedule got way off. I was getting tired in the middle of the day, taking long naps, which then made it so I couldn't go to sleep at night, and like, so it was a kind of a bad sleep cycle for a while. I, you know, was motivation was tough, mental clarity was tough. I mean, we're talking like you run the gamut of like things that are supposed to happen to somebody. I was thirsty all the time. That, you know, all the negative effects that people warn you about, like I pretty much felt them all. And you know, it's taken almost, and I still feel them to some degree. Like I said, I still wake up with incredibly dry mouth and things like that. But yeah, I am turning the corner. I did have to tough it out. I'm fortunate that I am in a position in my life where I can dedicate a block of time to a project like this and suffer through the consequences and get through it. You know, I don't have kids of my own. I don't have a significant other or a family to raise. My job is flexible in that I create my own schedule. So I was able to work around that. And I think one thing that's important to know is if you can't, that's okay. You know, we'll still do the best that you can, but you know, you don't have to do something that you're not capable of doing. You know what I mean? Like, don't feel bad.
With the, were you, when you were doing this phase or even up till now, have you, were you taking any exogenous ketones?
So not during this process this time. I have access to them, if I needed them or wanted them. But I used to take them, more in the past as kind of like, in my pre-workout mix. I would take, BHB, beta hydroxybutyrate, in order to create more of a cardiovascular effect. I was able to go much longer, in, you know, like during the HIIT workout, portion of the core series here at Core Fit, or, you know, along those lines. And that's actually a very effective, very powerful thing. And also, even though I didn't do it myself, I would say that, like, if you were trying to do this and the symptoms were getting severe and you were, like, thinking about quitting, maybe, you know, taking some ketones just to kind of curb those symptoms could be beneficial for you. But I would say that with the caveat is, it's like, don't get into a place where you rely on them, because your body will recognize that it has ketones in its in its system. And if there's enough to cover all the bases that it needs to do all the work, in this case, convert fat to energy, it won't be motivated, if you will, or stimulated or signaled, depending on how you want to look at it, to make its own ketones. So yeah, they can be a tool to help you get through a bad spot, but like I said, don't let it be a crutch.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's where I wanted to point out for people that it could be something that you could utilize if your side effects were not working with, like, you know, what if you are a parent and you don't have the luxury of, like, just kind of taking it easy this day. You have demands in life, your job, whatever it might be, that those exogenous ketones. So, and if you're not familiar with that, it's a supplemental version, something you can take like a powder form, like taking whey protein or something. And you can consume that, and it's going to provide some of the ketones that your body will begin to make once it has flipped on into full ketosis through your diet. So that's something to just keep on the back burner for people. Like you were saying too, using it previously when you weren't doing a keto diet as a fuel substrate for your workouts, and it can be definitely highly beneficial for people.
Yeah, it absolutely can. And I think one thing to know about ketones for me is I would still currently use them. But my plan of attack is that I'm going to stick with this ketogenic intermittent fasting protocol, but that's just in my daily routine. So I don't plan on missing out on life. Like if I take a vacation or there's a family event or what have you, I plan on participating in and enjoying completely the event. And that includes, you know, the foods that, you know, your family tends to make, which if you come from a family like mine, they're not the best choices from a nutritional standpoint. And, but they taste great. And what have you. So like I'm saying, like, I don't plan on missing out in life or any of my experiences due to this diet. So as a result of that, I might be kicked out of ketosis, right? So my plan is to get back into it quickly, as I would supplement with some ketones to jump me back in, coupled with probably the following day doing a 24-hour fast. So the combination of the two should put me back into ketosis really quickly, so that I don't have to spend a lot of time out of it while still getting to enjoy life to the fullest.
When we started, you said that you had really positive feelings about you know, the outlook on continuing with keto to the summer. So let's kind of focus in on that. What are the positives that you've been experiencing for this, or what kind of things do you have forecasted by following what you're experiencing now?
Yeah, it's a good point. So yeah, we touched on a lot of the negatives of it, and so I think that's been covered well. And why do this? Why is this something that we're doing here in the first place? So keto, I think it's important to understand the why. And the why is it has, you know, and I could speak hours and hours on this, but it has so many positive effects on your health, on your metabolism, on your longevity, and you know, and your ability to absorb nutrients. I mean, and the list just goes on. So I mean, we can easily break down every single one of those into its own episode here. But you know, I think it's important to know also, like for me, like I saw this that had all these benefits that I was able to do long term, and I'm able to do it long term because the diet's gaining popularity, so more choices at the supermarket, more recipes than ever online, so more ideas to be creative with it, keep it diverse. You know, it's not as expensive as I thought it would, because protein tends to be the most expensive item in a grocery store. So, you know, it's a lot of fat, a lot of vegetables, which tend to actually be pretty cost effective. And you don't need as much food also on the keto diet. You save money there because a lot of people don't know that, you know, fat, you know, you get about 9 calories per gram in fat, where protein and carbohydrates is roughly about 4. So you get over twice the energy value eating fat. So if the vast majority of your diet is fat, you don't need to eat as much as in quantity wise in order to get your energy requirements for the day. So yeah, other benefits. It has muscle preservation benefits. That's one of the main things that really caught my eye is, oh, I don't have to use much protein, which for me was a big chore. I don't think my body digests it the best. And I could still not only grow, but like preserve what I have by dramatically, in my case, lowering the quantity. Like I said, I probably went from 250 to 300 grams protein a day. I'm right around 100 grams, you know, right now. So, you know, huge difference there. And my digestion's been doing really well with that. You have energy effects, clarity of thought, which is a big thing for me. Like, I have a hard time staying focused. I have a type of job that's detail-oriented, so just be able to think critically and clearly about something was really important to me, and I'm already noticing that. I'm needing less sleep. I'm sleeping about 5-6 hours a day, whereas before I was sleeping 9-10 hours a day. And the list really does go on, Kurt. It's like we can just absolutely saturate this subject for hours.
That's really cool. Yeah, what we'll have to do is definitely, I want to follow up and maybe 6-8 weeks or something and kind of see what's this transition look like for you. How have all these things been playing out? I'd also like to touch on today. I don't know, we could go another episode on this, but the other side of what you're doing is the keto, and which is, you know, pretty popular right now, but also really popular right now is the intermittent fasting. And you're doing some big intermittent fasts on a regular basis. What's that been like for you?
Yeah, so that was a big adjustment too. So basically for me, my intermittent fasting protocol, I'm just first off, so just for those of you that don't know, intermittent fasting is just kind of a fancy, you know, 10-cent way of saying that you're going to eat all of your food in a day in a shorter time frame. Instead of like morning, noon, and night, you're probably just doing it like in an afternoon between 4, 6, 8 hours, depending on who you are, with the general theory and the studies kind of leaning towards the shorter that feed window, as in the longer you're fasting, the greater the benefits you're going to be receiving from that diet. So for me, I decided that I'm essentially doing a one meal a day, or you know, it's kind of over a 2-hour period, which to a lot of people is considered extreme. And you know, it's definitely has its unique challenges, but I think the benefits are definitely worth it, and I'm pretty excited about it.
You are, yeah, so you're consuming, what's hunger been like during the times that you're fasting right now?
Well, that's a good question, and this is part of the reason why I have chosen, I've been doing intermittent fasting, let's just be clear, I've been doing a version of intermittent fasting for a long time. It's kind of how I've been running my diet protocol for a couple of years now, but I was using it because you gain a lot of benefits, but I wasn't being restrictive about what I ate specifically, as in, like, I basically just eat whatever I want as long as it was within a 4-hour period. So to make that transition, a 4-hour feed window into a 2-hour or even a singular meal, wasn't that big of a deal. But if we're asking specifically about hunger and my experiences with that, is it's not that bad, and that's because of keto. I believe that 100%. So the high fat that I've been consuming is very satiating, and I really haven't been feeling hungry very much at all. If anything, I would feel like the negative effects as far as like mineral depletion, you know, like headaches and stuff like that. And so I could just take a vitamin or a calcium supplement or something like that. But as far as needing to eat, I actually forgot to eat the other day, and I went 36 hours before I got around to it because something happened in the morning when I normally make my food. So, yeah, hunger has been a non-issue.
Wow, I think that says a lot right there. Certainly been my experience, too, with intermittent fasting, something I've done for a couple of years as well. I don't usually go as long as you're going. But, you know, to each their own. Like I said, it's all about individualized programming, what works for you, your times, your body, everybody's body, everybody's genetics are different. So there's going to be a program that works better for person A and better for person B. They're not going to be the same, and, you know, very rarely. So that's where really coming in and having probably someone that has the experience here, the knowledge, the insight, like Adam. He's actually a coach here. He helps out as well at CoreFit. He teaches this lift class on Sundays and is definitely available for anyone looking to do, you know, some maybe one-on-one work and talk more about insights with keto, his actual eating habits, what he's actually eating to make this work for him and to find those that peace of mind. And I'll tell you one thing that I really love about intermittent fasting is not having to take the time to cook breakfast in the morning or, you know, even sometimes lunch. It's that the time you take when you're eating good, healthy foods, there's definitely time consumed in meal prep. And it's not the easiest thing to do to eat healthy. And that's the world we're in nowadays, right? It's go, go, go. It's all about, if you look at the work week and how many hours we used to work 100 years ago to 70 years ago to 30 years ago, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. We work more, we have less free time. And it's an unfortunate part of society, especially with iPhones and computers and everything. Now work never leaves. So it's literally in your pocket. You're getting emails, you're getting calls, you're getting texts. And societal norm is you're expected to answer that text message when somebody sends it out to you. So with that kind of pressure and that kind of way life's going, intermittent fasting really makes a lot of sense in today's world. And if you can boil it down to one eating window and that works for you, you know, that's a lot of time you're saving to give yourself the opportunity to do the other things that are important to you. And hopefully we can all be better at separating our priorities and limiting how much we're going to be available for work and how much we're going to be available for ourselves.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Like I said, you know, and Kurt and I talk about this a lot. You got to do what you can do, you know what I mean? Like anything you're not going to do is obviously not going to work. So, you know, we got to find that sweet spot, what, you know, what your lifestyle is and what you got going on. And, you know, we got to try the best that we can. And you got to understand, even myself, even Kurt, like it's not perfect. Nothing we're doing is perfect. Information, the quality of information, it's always changing. It's always evolving. And we're always learning. I know, you know, he spends a lot of time and I spend a lot of time reading up and refreshing our knowledge on different subjects, especially in like the fitness health vein. And, you know, we kind of evolve our protocols and our systems and make those choices of what's going to be effective for us as we go. And yeah, just do the best you can, guys.
Yeah, I think it's a great place to wrap it up. We'll definitely have to have you back on, talk more about, like we said, the experience with keto, more of what you're learning, experiencing, and, you know, there's a whole host of other things that we can gain and help our listeners with the knowledge and insight you have.
Yeah, thanks, guys. It was really great.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I'll see you guys on the next podcast, The Fit Life.